Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for coming to the first 9 o'clock service of Life Change Church. I'm excited for what God's doing, right? Cool. God's doing amazing things as we go into two services, really to make room for others to experience Jesus, for others to continue to grow in their relationship with God, which is what we define life change as what that's kind of what we define life change as. Quick reminder, though, Monday, Thursday service is coming up. If you haven't seen that, that's going to be an incredible kind of intimate time, and it'll look totally different. So I want to remind you that that's coming up April 13th. It'll be a cool time just to where we're going to actually do communion with each other and serve one another in a way that really Jesus gave us the greatest example for. And then on Easter, we're kind of in this Easter season right now. On Easter, we're going to celebrate Easter with baptisms again. So if you haven't been baptized and you want to, check out your bulletin. You can shoot me an email and we can get that taken care of as well. It'll be a fun time to celebrate your decision for Jesus. But if you're a first-time guest, you could not have picked a better Sunday to start, because we are actually jumping into a series that we started in the fall, and there's a four-part series in the fall, and now we're going to do a four-part series here in the spring, and really it's talking about how our family lives can be blessed. So as we jump in today, let me just ask you, how many of you guys would want your homes, your families to be blessed, right? Raise your hand, right? If somebody beside you doesn't have their hand up, it's probably because they're holding a baby or they're crazy, right? We're just going to go with that. But we want our lives to be blessed, right? We want our homes to be blessed. We don't want our lives to be cursed. We don't want our families to be cursed. We don't want the situations we go through to be cursed. We want them blessed. But if you think about it, if you look at families today, if you look around you, a lot of times it's the complete opposite. A lot of times we look at people and we think, man, I can't believe they're going through that. I can't believe they're struggling with that. Man, they need prayer, right? They need help. In fact, oftentimes I think we look at our own families. We step back and we look and like, oh my goodness, we are a hot mess and we just need some prayer, right? I mean, there's many blended families, which comes with a lot of blessings, but it also comes with a lot of struggles. There's the exes that are involved, so you're trying to figure out times of when who's getting picked up, what time, then like whose weekend is it, whose kids are we raising this week. Next thing you know, there's neighborhood kids that are just sitting at your dinner table, and you're like, how did you get here? Are you one of mine? Like, it gets a little crazy, right? And then if you're not a blended family, if you're together still, you look at your kids, and like, only person you can blame for your kids is each other sometimes, right? You're like, that's your kid. No, that's our kid. Why are they doing that? What is wrong with them, right? I think that's probably where we're at sometimes. We look and we're like, wow, how did we get into this? I mean, if we're honest, I think we could look at our lives and say, man, we need prayer, even in our marriages. Oftentimes we look at our marriages and they're not what they could or even should be, right? We look at our relationship with our kids and raising them up, and again, they're going through different things, and we're like, man, I don't even know how to empathize with what they're going through. How do they get in the situation? How am I supposed to help them? We look at our finances, and maybe we're living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe we're not even doing that, and we're struggling. And we're thinking, like, how did we get in this situation? We're not blessed, right? Maybe it's a relationship with your parents or your in-laws, right? Maybe you call them your outlaws, but there's that strain on there. And it continues to feel like, yeah, we're just not blessed. Well, through this series, this is what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about four aspects that we can really apply to our lives, that we can walk away with, and then we can have our homes and our families blessed because of it. If you remember, we started this again in the fall. I challenge you to go back. You can go to our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. You can check out the four sermons, the first part of this series. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue these. But all of these things that we're looking at, that we're studying, they come from one of Jesus' most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a part of the sermon called the Beatitudes. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 3 through 11. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to read all this entire portion of Scripture. So I challenge you to even write this down. Maybe put it as a screensaver on your back. Highlight this on your phone. Put it somewhere where you can see it every single day. Maybe even commit it to memory so you can take it with you wherever you go, so that you can apply these things to your families, to your home, so you really can be blessed. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What we're going to do is we're really going to jump in and we're going to look at verse 3 today. And it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Think about that for a minute. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? In your home, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? In your life, in your apartment, with your friends, with your family, what does it look like to be poor in spirit? If you look at the word poor, what does it mean? The word poor means that we're lacking something. We often think of the word poor regarding our finances, like we're lacking funds, we're lacking resources, we're in a place of need, right? We need help, we need support, we need a handout, we need resources, we need something. I think all of us, we can probably relate with that feeling in some way. Many of us, we can probably even relate with that feeling within our finances as well. We've all probably been to that point where we needed something. We are in the place of need. Now listen, I've been pretty blessed for most of my life, like especially in the financial portion of it. Like I grew up just straight like middle class. My parents were educators, so we weren't really rich, but we never really were financially poor. We never really went without. So when I grow up, I look at my life, I'm thinking like, when was I really at this place of need? If I look at it, really, it's probably college, right? For me, college was the first time I was off by myself. It's the first time I really kind of had to figure things out by myself. In college, it's kind of fake, though, because college is really responsibility with a safety net. I mean, we're learning all these things, but really, we have a place to fall in a way, right? We have a place where we can go. And I went to school in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I remember my senior year, I wanted to live off campus, right? I didn't want to have that dorm living anymore. I wanted to have my own apartment. So I lived off campus, and without the dorm living, also came without a meal plan. So I lost like 20 pounds that year. It was crazy. It was great. But I remember this, and I'm looking, I had this apartment, and let me just tell you, if you've ever been to Minneapolis or lived in Minneapolis, Minneapolis is an expensive place to live. Like I'm talking, the rent for my apartment in Minneapolis was the same as my house payment is today. Like, it's crazy if you think about that. So I worked, and I actually make pretty good money, but all my money went to the rent. So I had like $20 left over for food for like weeks. But back then, like $20, it could go pretty far, right? $20 will get you a lot of ramen. $20 will get you a lot of tuna. $20 will get you a lot of Vandy Camp's pork and beans. Like, it will go a long time. And like, sometimes like I actually splurged a little bit. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna go to Wendy's. I'm going to get a 99-cent chicken nuggets. Back in those days, it was 5 pieces. And like, let me just tell you, there's a difference between 4 pieces and 5 pieces. 5 pieces is a meal. 4 pieces is a snack. I'm just saying. But sometimes I splurged. But I survived, right? I survived. But I was often at a place of need. And there was nothing like coming home back to mom and dad. There was nothing like having them pick me up from the airport. Because the first stop was always Max and Irma. And I'm talking like I would eat like a king. Because my parents knew that I didn't have money. And I knew that they did. So I knew the bill was getting picked up by somebody other than me. Those breaks from school, they're like an all-inclusive resort with all you can eat. It was amazing. I wish I could still go home and just have that. Like, if something changes when you get in your 30s and whatever. But anyway, I look at that and I'm thinking like, wow. They met me at my place of need. And not only that, when my parents would take me back to the airport, my dad would always try to slip me a $20 bill, sometimes even a $50 bill, right? And the truth is, I needed that. And I always was thinking, like, man, I don't want that though. Like, I always played it off like that. Dad, I got this. Like, I don't need it, right? I can do this on my own. Don't worry about that. Me in my head, I'm thinking, like, oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness he gave me this. This is going to make me, I'm going to live it. But I remember one time my mom pulled me aside and she's like, listen, whenever your dad offers you money, you take it, right? He wants to bless you. He wants to give to you. He wants to meet you in that place of need. And if I think you think about it, right, the same is true for us spiritually. God, our Father, wants to bless us. He wants to give to us. He wants to meet us in our place of need. And there's something about coming home to Him, being in that place of need, that allows for His blessing. If you look at it, it's really the parable of the prodigal son, where the son goes away, squanders all the wealth, and then comes back, and what? He's poor, he's broken, he has nothing left, but the father comes to him with open arms and accepts him. That's what that is. I'll challenge you to go back and read that. It's in Luke chapter 15. Read your Bibles this week. Throw that as part of your reading plan. But really, if you think about it, it's the gospel plan as well. Again, God sent His only Son to live a perfect life because He knew that we couldn't. He knew that we are broken. He knew that we are in a place of need. Then He sent His Son to die on a cross to pay a penalty that we could never pay. And then He had His Son resurrected, risen from the dead to give us new life. And He does this for each and every one of us to meet us in our place of need. He meets us in our place of need when we are poor in spirit. This is what I want you to walk away with. Being poor in spirit allows us to receive God's blessing. Being poor in spirit allows us to receive God's blessing. This is our scripture today, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, our personal lack leads to His overwhelming abundance. Our spiritual poverty, it leads to His spiritual riches. We have this inability to become righteous. And once we acknowledge that, and only when we acknowledge that, can we experience the righteousness that only comes through Christ. To be poor in spirit is to be in a place where God can connect with us and can change our lives. I love this quote I found. It says this. It says, when you have nothing left but God, then for the first time, you become aware that God is enough. Understand this. Being poor in spirit allows us the opportunity to receive God's blessing. Meaning anything less than being poor in spirit is being filled of ourselves and not God. And we can't be full of ourselves and full of God at the same time. The problem, though, I think our tendency is to become full of ourselves. Our tendency is to become self-sufficient, right? Again, I remember it was hard for me. Like, it bothered me to accept money from my dad when I was in college. I know it sounds weird, but it bothered me. Like, I tried to turn him away. I tried to say no. I tried to say, you know what, I didn't need it. I tried to say I can do this all on my own. But think about what that is. It's pride. It's pride, and it's a sin, and it's something that God hates. In Proverbs 16:5, it says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The Lord detests the proud of heart. The Lord hates pride. And why? It's because it leads to a separation from Him. It's because it's sin. Pride always leads to a separation from Christ. Being filled with self-sufficiency will only lead us further and further away from Christ. And listen, when I'm saying these things, I'm preaching to myself, right? This is something I still struggle with. This is something I've struggled with through my life. Like, I'm looking at these things, and there's so many things I think that I can handle on my own. There's so many things that I always start off the sentence and say, I got this. That's always a bad way to start off, right? It's not going to end well. Even in my spiritual life, I think there's so many things I say, you know what, I got this. Like, I could just pray more. I could just study more. I could just read the Bible more. I could just, you know, will myself to serve more. I could just be nicer. I could do all these things. I. But it's coming from a prideful spirit. And that prideful spirit is really ingrained in us. Because if you look around us, our culture defines success by self-sufficiency, right? Our culture defines success by wealth and riches and not poverty. I think too many times we get to the place in our relationship where we're looking at a relationship with God by what the culture says and not by what the Bible says, not by what Jesus says. We define our relationship with God by how much we can do, right? By how much we've already done, by what we're willing to do. But that's never the definition of a relationship with God. It should always be defined by whose we are. It should always be defined by Him. But I think too many times we try to define our relationship with Christ with our own level of commitment. And that's spiritual pride. It's spiritual self-sufficiency. It's really sin. I mean, think about it. Can you think of anything more destructive and devastating to your soul than relying on yourself for your spiritual growth and not God? Can you think of anything more ridiculous than professing to be a follower of Christ, but not following Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? Can you think of anything more ridiculous than neglecting His blessings because we're not in a place of need? I want to challenge each and every one of you, just kind of like my mom challenged me in college, to accept the gift. Accept the blessing. Being poor in spirit allows us the opportunity to receive God's blessing. Being poor in spirit really creates blessing. Again, if you look at this verse today, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word blessed, it means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. Now, if you listen to that, it sounds like an oxymoron, right? But this is how Jesus teaches. This is what Jesus does. He came and He kind of flipped the regular way of thinking like upside down. He flipped everything over on its side. And He's challenging us to think the same way. He's challenging us for a new way of thinking. And He's saying if we're poor in spirit, then we will experience blessing. And this happiness and this blessing, it's really less about our surroundings and what we experience on the outside, but it's more about the inside. It's the invitation to allow God to work in and through us. And think about that. Imagine being blessed. Imagine the way you think, feel, act. Imagine it being less about what's happening around you, but more on what God is doing in and through you. That's what true happiness is. That's what blessing is. I mean, think about it in your careers, right? Instead of fearing an important meeting, instead of being nervous that, you know, you're not going to add up to what the boss said really wants you to do, instead of wondering, you know, am I going to make the cut or are they going to drop me from this company, right? Instead of that, what if you could have peace knowing that those surroundings don't matter, but there's an inner peace that God wants to give you each and every time, each and every day through everything you go through. And your families, instead of second guessing every decision you make as a parent, instead of being frustrated with yourself when you do make a mistake, imagine having that sense of peace. Imagine understanding that God blesses those who are poor in spirit. And not only that, it says that those who are poor in spirit, it says the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is really a true change in our hearts. This is a true change in the way we think. Because we can rejoice and we can be glad that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Our reward is in heaven. But what's crazy about this is not instant gratification. This doesn't mean that, you know what, if I feel poor in spirit, that tomorrow I'm going to be rich in spirit. No, this is eternal thinking. This is Jesus, and He's talking big picture. He's saying the kingdom of heaven are for those who are poor in spirit. And what He's doing is He's putting this poor in spirit in a whole different light. He's putting these rewards in a whole different light. He's thinking long term. And He says the kingdom of heaven is yours. When we think about that, really, we should step back and say, you know what, who cares about these measly feel-good items for the now, right? Because what we have is eternity. That fight with our spouse, you know what? That's just for the now. That sickness, it's only temporary, but He is eternal. That job loss, that bankruptcy, that struggle, that sin, whatever it is, it's only a blip on the radar, right? It's only just a tiny portion of the whole entire spectrum. Like, that's the good news of Jesus, that we don't have to stop and focus right where we are. We don't have to stop and focus on the now, but we can look to the big picture, the fact that He died for us, not just for now, but for all of eternity as well. And this is what we experience when we're poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit allows us the opportunity to receive God's blessing. So again, what does it look like to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to be spiritually bankrupt, right? It means that we caught a glimpse of the awesomeness of God. It means that we caught a glimpse of the holiness of God. It means that we caught a glimpse of the righteousness of God. And then after catching that glimpse, all of a sudden we know where we truly stand. Like, it's put us in our place. And we know that we are in a place of need, right? we understand that we are in a place of need. So how do we get to this point? How do we become poor in spirit? Let's get a little practical here. I'm going to give you two action steps that you can apply to your life this week. Number one is to acknowledge your poverty. If we're going to be honest here, we're already poor in spirit, right? The truth is we're already there. Just so many of us are faking it. So many of us, we're just not willing to acknowledge that we're poor in spirit. We have to acknowledge that we're poor in spirit before we can ever hope to be rich in His blessings for the eternal. We must acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. We must surrender our methods. We must surrender our plans. We must surrender our ideas. We have to empty ourselves so that God can fill us with the Holy Spirit. If you look back through history, anyone who's ever accomplished anything significant for God first had to acknowledge the poverty of their own spirit. And once we're willing to do this, once we're willing to acknowledge our spiritual poverty, He'll pour Himself out and in and through us. And then we have this hope of experiencing the power of God through everything. And some practical ways to acknowledge your poverty. First, we have to humble ourselves. A portion of acknowledging our spiritual poverty is really humbling ourselves. We'll never be able to acknowledge our poverty if we remain in pride. The two go against each other. Pride really comes from looking at ourselves and looking at others and comparing ourselves to others. Oftentimes, we feel better about ourselves when we look at others and compare ourselves, right? We can always find somebody that's doing a little worse than us. Problem is, we can always find somebody that's doing a little bit better than us too, though, right? So instead of looking at others, instead of looking at ourselves, we need to look to God. Our standard always has to be God. C.S. Lewis wrote about this, and he said this. He says, whenever we find that our religious life is making us feel that we are good, above all, that we are better than someone else, I think we may be sure that we are being acted on not by God, but by the devil. The real test of being in the presence of God is that you forget about yourself altogether or see yourself as a small, dirty object. It's better to forget about yourself altogether. James chapter 4, 6 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. When we humble ourselves, it really allows us to see who we really are. Think about this in your life. What are some areas in your life that you need to be knocked down a notch or two? What are some areas in your life that you need to really do a checkup on to make sure that you're being acted upon God and not by the devil? What's some areas in your life where you need to humble yourself? We need to acknowledge our spiritual poverty. We can do that by humbling ourselves. Another very practical way of even humbling ourselves and acknowledging our poverty is through fasting. Listening, fasting, it will show you that you are spiritually poor faster than anything else. And yes, there's a play on words there, right? But it will. Fasting is when we withhold from something that we enjoy. Fasting is when we withhold from something that we need. It's when we're giving up food or something along those lines, and we're using that time focusing in on God. Right now, as we lead up to Easter, we're in a season that many churches recognize as Lent. And many people, what they do during this time, they fast from something to focus more on Jesus. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Because fasting really, it helps us acknowledge our spiritual poverty. Sometimes it doesn't kind of in a bad or ugly way too, right? Because listen, when you fast, especially when you fast food or all the food, not just something you really like, but when you legitimately fast meals and stuff, it will show who you really are. Like you will get hangry faster than anything else. Like that's hungry and angry at the same time. It comes together in a really, really crazy way. Like there's times I've had to end some of my fast because I get too upset with my kids. Because there's bad in there. Like I'm like, oh my goodness, I need God. I understand that. Okay, God, I'm poor. I'm spiritually poor and I need food because I'm about to break somebody's neck. Like that's kind of where it is sometimes. Like it brings the ugly out and it really shows us where we are. It shows us who we are. It shows us that we're weak. It shows us that we're poor. Fasting literally is an emptying of ourselves so that we can have a filling by God. And it's so unnatural, but it's so spiritual. And it's a great step in acknowledging our weakness. It's a great step in acknowledging our spiritual poverty. Another way that we can acknowledge our spiritual poverty is through baptisms. I mentioned a little bit that we're going to have baptisms on Easter, but what baptism is, it's an outward sign of an inward commitment that we've made, right? And what it's doing is saying that we're dying to our old self. Our old self is weak. Our old self is poor. It's that acknowledgement that we are dying to our old self, that we are spiritually poor, and then we're being raised again through Jesus. Jesus is giving us this new life, right? Jesus is the one who's promising that we can be blessed through Him and nothing that we can do. So if you haven't been baptized and you made a decision to follow Jesus, I would challenge you. I would challenge you to sign up for this. Sign up for baptisms on Easter. And then to be poor in spirit, we have to acknowledge our poverty. And then the number two thing we have to do is we have to ask for help. We can't lead a life of life change. We can't lead a life of a growing relationship with Christ by ourselves. Truth is, Christianity, it's not a program or a self-will or willpower. It's not a self-help solution. It's not a self-improvement course. And it has nothing to do with ourselves. When you come to Christ, we have to have this desire. We have to have this realization that He is the only one that can help us. And then we need to place people around us, and He strategically placed people in our lives to help us as well. I mean, if you look at a standard that we find of what we need to live up when we give our lives to Christ, it's intense. Like just a few verses down from the verse we read today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 48, it says this. Here's Jesus talking. He says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Be perfect. Like, hold up, wait. Like, I can't do that. What? That standard's a little too high, Jesus. But think about this. Think about what this means. It means that all the rules, means all the regulations, all the step-by-step processes, they're not going to make you righteous. The only thing that can ever make us righteous, the only thing that can ever make us holy is Jesus Christ. Keeping the rules and the laws, they don't make us spiritually rich. Listen, I'm not saying throw the rules out the window, but I think we need to realize that we can't do this on our own. Jesus came to fulfill each rule. Jesus came to fulfill the entire law. And it's only when we surrender all of our lives to Him that we're able to experience His power, that we're able to experience His righteousness that He has already placed in our lives. We need to ask Him for help. So in our prayer lives, it's not just a task that we're doing, but it's a way of asking God for help. In our life groups, it's not just a thing that we can put on our calendar and say, chalk one up for Jesus, got one on the books for Him this week. All right, we got this. Woo-hoo! No, it's a way of asking for help. In our Bible reading, it's not just another thing that we should do just to do, but we should continually be searching the Scriptures as a way of asking for help. We need all of Jesus, and we need it all the time. We need to understand this truth. We need to live our life. We need to live it out by being poor in spirit, by acknowledging our poverty, and then asking for help. I want to end with this quote from Mother Teresa. It says this. It says, "You'll never realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you've got." Being poor in spirit allows us the opportunity to receive God's blessing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You. God, we thank You for today. God, we thank You for speaking to us. God, we thank You for calling us to be a Christ-centered home. God, we thank You that we can experience Your blessings when we live out these actions, God. When we live out these Beatitudes that You preach, God. God, when we come to You poor in spirit, God, we ask that You will be there to bless us, God. And You will just bless us in the eternity, for the kingdom of heaven will be ours, God. God, we thank You for that. And God, right now, God, we ask You, God, just to help us to acknowledge our spiritual poverty wherever we go. God, help us to realize that we can't do it on our own. God, help us to realize that it's not about self-sufficiency, but it's about being sufficient, God. Not sufficient at all, but relying on You. God, we ask that You help us to acknowledge that. Then we come to You, God, we ask You for help. God, we pray that You will bless our home because we are poor in spirit. And we thank You for all we do. Thank You for everything that You are doing in and through our lives, God. And God, we give this to You as we reflect on how poor in spirit we truly are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.